You're listening to the Solomon Bucci Podcast. Insightful social and cultural commentary, relationships, and life through the light of the Christian faith. It's the Solomon Bucci Podcast.
This is the second episode of my podcast. Welcome, guys. And today we'll be having a very interesting conversation, right? I was preparing to actually record this by myself, but while I was actually preparing everything in the studio and I talked about the topic, and my guy was like, he started arguing with me basically, and I asked him to join the podcast. I was just like, let's turn on the microphones, come and share your opinion here, let's hear. And today I have my very good friend. His name is Chika Osisioma. He is a music artist, is it correct?
He's a gospel artist. Just
You are a gospel
contemporary
artist.
Contemporary gospel artist.
Okay, so that is what you are. He's actually a contemporary gospel artist. He's not the old time gospel artist. He's contemporary. There is a very huge, on the contemporary. So he's actually a contemporary gospel artist. He's actually a music producer. He is someone who goes to the gym and nothing changes. Funnily, actually. But, hi, Chika.
No, have your time. Actually.
Hi, Chika. How are you doing? How is everything?
I'm doing great.
You must feel really honored to be on this podcast,
actually,
right?
Actually, I am. Trust me.
That's a good thing. I like your humility. But the thing is that you're actually very proud of the microphone. But
true.
So, guys, this conversation is a very interesting and controversial conversation, because I see takes and where people have different things, and I think we want to have this conversation from a male perspective. Maybe later we can have a female join us, right? And it's so simple, right? But it's not simple. The topic is, can you love someone and cheat on them? Can you love someone and cheat on them? So, Chika, can you love someone and cheat on them?
Actually, I think it's a possibility to love someone and cheat on them.
Just give me yes or no.
Yes.
Okay. Have you... Okay. Have you ever cheated on someone that you loved?
Yes.
And why did you cheat on them?
Because of where I was at that moment.
Okay, you were in a place that loved cheating.
Not necessarily loved cheating. I was in a place that
accommodated.
I didn't
cheating.
Love myself enough to know my worth, that every time I cheated on someone, I was not devaluing the person as it were, I was devaluing myself.
Oh, so, word. Guys, sorry. More than just being a, what's he called? More than just being a music producer, he's also a motivational speaker, you can hear that bar. He
guy,
just said,
my guy, my guy, forget that.
I didn't know my worth. you see, some of these people, they are, these are the kind of people that will come to you and say, I want to break this relationship. You ask them why, they say, because I don't deserve you. You don't deserve what? Just tell me that you want to serve me breakfast.
That, you see that line? I've actually used it before.
Guy, you have a lot of toxic.
I've actually used it before, but the person I used it on deserved it.
Oh, okay. So they did not deserve you.
Yes, they did.
So why did you start dating them?
Not dating them in the first place. But we were just in something, in a situationship.
Wow.
Not, of course, guy. You know this very person I'm talking.
Okay. Anyway. So let's go straight to the conversation, right? I want to really make this as precise and brief as possible. Like, is it possible to love someone and cheat on them? Because why I'm actually bringing this conversation up is because right now we know how relationships and marriage is actually working, like in the society that we live in, and a lot of people say stuff like, cheating is a deal breaker for me. And the reason cheating is a deal breaker for them is because to them, if someone cheats on them, then there is no love. And because they have that mindset, immediately cheating happens, they believe that love does not exist in the relationship. So I think it's a much needed conversation. And obviously, I mean, we are Christians. So for us to actually look at it from a Christian perspective, right? So from a Christian, or let's not go to the Christian perspective first. Let's go from your perspective, first of all, what you think, you know, ultimately we'll now conclude with whatever we think that our faith actually, you know, has to say about that. But do you think it's possible to love someone and cheat on them? Just, you know, talk. The mic is open for you.
Okay, so the thing is that love in its original state is sacrificial, is commitment, is giving yourself away to mm-hmm. somebody and doing it over and over again every other day you wake up.
Mm.
And that's a lot. That's something that requires strength and consistency.
Mm.
And you know, human beings, we are naturally inconsistent. Okay, not naturally, but we can be inconsistent mm. because of how some days go, because of your limitation, our human limitation. So that means if I wake up tomorrow and I've lost some strength, there's a possibility, or I'm in a bad place,
mm.
there's a possibility for me to actually start off a conversation that will lead somewhere if I don't checkmate it. So... Mm. I think it's very possible to actually love someone genuinely, respect someone genuinely, value someone genuinely, and still cheat on them if you don't protect your heart, if you don't guide your heart and all that.
So basically, cheating is a result of not guiding yourself.
Yeah, very well.
So
because truth be told, you are in a relationship.
Yeah, I'm engaged.
You are engaged, yeah. It's a relationship now.
Yeah, I know. I just like to use the word engaged.
So basically, you can actually still get attracted to the opposite sex.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's the reality.
You can actually see someone and be like, this person is cool. I know. So, but it takes guarding your heart to actually look away and be like, this person, she's okay, but I have something better, you know.
Mm.
You know. So that's the part of guarding your heart.
Mm. So you know, for people who actually say that if you cheat on them, that you don't love them, it's usually from a place of, you know, love is an embodiment of every good virtue.
Yeah.
So what they say in essence is that if you love someone,
yeah,
you should be able to have self-control. So what do you think? Do you think that self-control is... I don't know how to frame this. Yeah, do you think that it is proof of love? And that's one question, yeah.
No, self-control is something different. And self-control is not a whole word. You can't say, I have self-control. You could have self-control in financial dealings, and you don't have self-control in sexual dealings, and you don't have self-control. You know what I'm talking about yeah. right now. So self-control is something that you develop in different areas of your life. Mm. Like, I might not have financial control right now, financial accountability right now. I have to develop it.
Mm.
But as it has to do with love, trust is a component of love. As in, it's something that you have to develop. And it's not something that is gifted. It's something that you have to develop. You have to
earn,
yeah, that's the word. So I guess the reason is termed as though if you cheat on your spouse or your partner that you don't love them is because trust, you earned their trust and you broke it. So...
Mm.
But that does not change the fact that you really did love them and still love them.
Okay. So self-control is not a part of love in that sense. But I think I actually differ a little bit because
okay.
commitment is an intrinsic part of love.
Yeah.
And if you love someone, you should be committed to them, right? Yeah. Especially if you're in a relationship with them, right?
Yeah.
So, and commitment... it's not possible without self-control. Commitment is dedication.
Yeah.
And when you want to be dedicated to someone, you know that you place what you know above what you feel.
Okay.
Right? And for you to control or to have mastery over your feelings, then there has to be self-control, right?
Yeah.
So how do
you... No, I understand what you're saying. Now, self-control is a virtue. Mm. Let's go to the higher... realms of understanding now. It's not just something you wish away. It's not just something that you say. You know, what we define love to be is a feeling of attraction and, you know, that's first. That's how humans, natural human beings, would define love. But when we get to the other side in Christendom, what God defines love to be, you will notice that it's what's the word? Patient. It begins to call up some virtues. Patient, it's kind, it's
long-suffering. You know?
And these things are things that should be developed. So if I must, that means that if I must love someone successfully and not cheat on them, I must have developed some things before I got into a relationship.
So it's possible that you love them, but you've not developed those virtues, and you are developing them in the relationship.
In the relationship.
Oh, I see what you mean. You know, for me personally, I think that it's very simple. I think that it's possible to love someone and cheat on them, and I know that this conversation can be very triggering for people because they believe that, oh, you know, he's cheating, you know, and all of that. Like, I understand all of that. But it doesn't still take away the fact that love can exist where there is abuse. And please hear me out. Now, let's use an example.
Very true.
Now, your parents, right?
Very true.
Did they abuse you?
My parents abused me.
When I say abuse, I don't mean...
No, I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to... They did.
Did they do things that that were wrong?
Yeah, of course they did.
Things that pained you as a child.
They did not understand. They did not even give me attention. Like,
but did they love you?
Of course, 100%.
They loved you?
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. So, I mean, so that means that, because I think that where people who have
there was a day my father did something and I actually went out. I was like, are you sure this guy is my father? No, I'm not sure. Like, I saw one Nigerian movie that painted a picture of a child that was adopted and he didn't know. So it was later on he realized. So I was like, that must be my story. I need to go and confirm.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
So in that moment, you doubted the love he had for you?
Yes, of course. I've never really felt love from my father. Like, I never felt
but
my father
you
loved
know
me.
That he loves
I
you.
I now know.
Oh, wow.
I never knew.
Okay, but at least what I wanted to actually establish was the fact that abuse and some toxicity and love can coexist at once.
Actually.
You know, and for me, the way I see it is that people are people. Love is love. People have to buy into love. People have to give themselves to love. And the level to which they give themselves to love is the level to which they can express that love. So if someone is falling short in the place of self-control as a person, they might not be able to display that aspect of love in self-control.
Yeah, yeah.
They might actually be patient, they might be kind, they might be romantic, but they might not have self-control. And, you know, and also looking at it from a very, you know, psychological perspective, people have issues that they deal with personally.
Yeah.
Even without being in relationships, they will still be, you know, they will still be randy, they will still be promiscuous and all of that. So now being in a relationship, it could be a genuine struggle for them.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that
that's when it's actually a genuine struggle, because there are people that have assumed
that is their state.
It's where they have accepted.
Do you think that men are polygamous in nature?
No, I don't think so.
You know, that question is actually very
I would not say men are polygamous in nature. I would just agree that human beings, we are all flawed. In the sense that both males and females, or men and women, can actually...
You are trying to be politically correct. So basically, you are saying that humans are polygamous in nature. And I agree with you. That's the funny thing. I agree with you. Humans are polygamous in nature, not because of cheating, but because when we are attracted, like we can be attracted to multiple people at the same time.
Correct.
That's how we are polygamous in nature, right? Mm-hmm. There is that sense of, you know, you can actually look at...
Remember, sorry that I'm cutting you. This talk is just, we are being truthful. It doesn't mean that that's what we represent. You get...
No, sure. Please, guys. Like, I have one woman in my life and he has one woman in his life.
Because we don't know how far this would go, you know? So, but we are just trying to paint a picture that is a reality. I guess before we finish, we'll put out our what we really, you know, truth is something you build. It's something you approach in reality. This is what it is. This is who I am. I know that this is the truth, but I'm working on myself to get there. So, but what we are doing now, we are saying this is what it is, but there is a truth in the statement in the end. Maybe we'll be able to unveil it.
But you said something. So do you think that like we have already established, it's possible that people in relationships are still growing in that aspect. And you know the funny thing, let me even digress. You know, that scripture that you actually quoted, right? Which is actually First Corinthians 13 verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its way, it's not irritable or resentful, blah, 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 blah. You know, whenever I read this scripture, right? I mean, we are Christians and this is what the Bible defines to be love. Whenever I read this scripture, I see a part of this scripture that defines love as what we should receive and what we should give. Let me explain. Love is patient. If God, or if the Bible is saying that love is patient, that means that there are times that you'll be impatient.
True.
That means you will need to be patient.
Yeah, true.
If the Bible is saying that love does not envy or boast, that means that you would have the desire or you'd have that prompting to want to boast.
Correct.
Right? Or you might even boast, right? And if the Bible is saying that love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, that means that your partner will actually do you wrong and you don't have to keep score of it.
So this Bible portion actually highlights threats to love. I mean, things that would threaten love.
Exactly. So it's not just, because when people read it, I feel like people just define it as, it has to be this. And do you think is actually, like I feel like it's a giving and a receiving, you know, it's grace. I feel like this definition of love is basically about grace.
You know, this definition of love is not our standard. It was defined by God's standard. And God's standards is always higher than man's standard. And one thing God's standards intend to achieve is to work on man. In fact, if you are in a Christian relationship, what is going to do in your life is going to be like what the Word of God does in your life. It's going to break you. It's going to make you. It's going to make you become the person you never thought you would ever be. So if you see love is patient, that means your partner is going to do stuff that would require for you to be patient.
Exactly.
When the Bible said that love is kind, it means that person is going to do stuff that will not require
you being kind to them, but you have to be kind to them. So it's not necessarily saying, oh, they will be kind to you. They will not envy. And it's also giving you a perspective with which you should actually give love.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he says something. He says, love bears all things,
God
believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I know that this place will be controversial. Please, I am begging you. I'm not saying people should stay in marriages and relationships where they are beating them blue, black, hole. But I have a problem with our generation and the way that we actually approach relationships. I feel like any little thing, people want to leave. And I think I've actually spoken about this before. Is your love, or does your love endure long? If it's love, it will not give up easily. Right. Yeah. If it's love, it will not it won't give up easily. So now the question will be, in the context of cheating, should people give up on their partners?
In the context of cheating, people shouldn't give up on their partners. But I need us to draw a line now, because there is a difference between love, because the love defined here is actually God. It's not. I was talking to my friend the other day and I was telling her that love, in the definition of people that have not met God, is that love is sex, love is romance, love is dating, as in taking you out on a date, love is giving you a treat. But if you read this scripture, that portion of the Bible you just read now, you find that love is all responsibility. There is no, like, you have to die daily. Like, you have to give yourself. It's not wishy-washy. It's not just there that way. So, what was I saying before I got there?
I can't even remember.
So, but basically, what I'm trying to say is that love in this scripture was defined by God's standard. So, if I am going to get into a relationship, I must know who I am first. Am I a Christian? If I'm a Christian, then I shouldn't have any business with someone that is not a Christian, because my definition of love would be different as a Christian, right? My definition of love is that it's patient, it's kind, it's long-suffering, it's never-ending. So if I get into a relationship as a Christian, a marital relationship with someone, that means my love for that person should not end. Mm-hmm. Divorce should not be a consideration. Yeah. So
at all, even in abusive,
and that would be left for the person that is in the situation.
Please, because let me actually say my own now. I don't encourage divorce. However, I believe that when a marriage or a relationship is actually threatening your life,
actually,
you should leave. That's what I believe. But I am not of the party. I'm not actually of the party that divorce should be the first option. I think divorce should be the last resort.
Yeah.
After we've tried everything. You know, the Bible says something about...
But you know what? Sorry. Sorry that I'm cutting you. If you considered your decisions, the weight of what you were going into before you made your decision, you wouldn't even have to get to that divorce, please.
I think I disagree with you. We are humans.
Tell me why.
Now, have you made decisions that you regretted? Yes or no?
Yes, I have.
So should you actually leave just because you've made those decisions?
Well, they are no absolutes.
Exactly. Like people make mistakes. The same way people make mistakes with everyday decisions.
So you can actually
decisions.
Get married to someone that loves God and they backslide and become...
Yeah, exactly. Son, you know? Exactly. You can see the thing.
And
is,
sorry, you can even get married to a pastor that is still functional in ministry and he's still an abusive person.
Exactly. Wow. So at the end of the day, I think it's quite unfair to say that, you know, like, why would they make such decisions? I mean, I understand there are people that are reckless with the decision of who to be with in life. And to be honest, these are not the people that I'm talking to. If that's you, you have to, you know, trim your life properly, you know, calm down, make decisions. But there are people that still did their due diligence and still found themselves in a mess.
True.
And, you know, for me personally, I just believe that when they try all their best, well, anyway, the Holy Ghost will tell them what to do. I actually think that it's very possible to love someone and cheat on them. And I think that people need to look at it from the perspective that it's not necessarily about them. Take yourself away from them and see someone who is struggling. Obviously, what I'm saying right now is difficult to do because you'll be in pain, right? And that pain is valid, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but I'm saying you have to like take yourself.
Sorry. Have you been cheated on before?
I don't even know.
I've been cheated on before and I caught the person red-handed. Sorry. I caught the person right in the act.
In their house.
Not in the
give us a picture.
No,
not a graphic
you
picture.
You don't watch Nigerian movie before now. You know that feeling that they drive.
What did she say? Was she Christian?
Yeah, she was. She was like, just leave me alone for tonight. Like you were seeing her walking away with the man she was going to cheat with or do whatever with. So, but that.
Did you really love her? No. Don't worry. The fact that you are taking this long to answer.
No. I did. I valued her, I respected her.
You valued her. Or you loved
I
her?
I loved her.
So, did it really pain you?
Very well. But I understood with them because I've been there before.
Did you still continue the relationship?
Yeah.
Wow. If your wife cheats on you in marriage, will you still?
Yeah, I'll still love her.
You will not get a divorce?
I will not get a divorce. Now, this is not an easy statement to make. God forbid, though. That's not even a possibility.
No, that's a possibility, but just God forbid.
God, no, it's not a possibility. I refuse to accept that it's a possibility.
What do you mean by it's not a possibility? Anything can happen in life.
We won't make room for that.
Let's hope so.
We won't make room
obviously,
for that.
Obviously, nobody actually says that make room for being cheated on you.
Some people make room.
Yeah, actually.
When you start ignoring your spouse, you're making room. Yeah?
So, okay. But continue with your story.
Basically, what I'm saying is that I can forgive my wife. Of course, that's the height of love. Imagine for what Christ did for us. But nobody's trying to be Christ a second time. But if the person you have chosen to spend the rest of your life with falls short, I heard of a pastor, a senior pastor, whose wife cheated on, and he had to forgive. You have to forgive. Even if they are going to live with that scar for the rest of their life, that's what love entails. Christ still carries a scar for us.
Mm.
You know, so.
Ah, that's deep. This guy is more than just a, he's more than just a producer. He's also a pastor.
So
he said Christ carried the scar. The scar is there forever. So we should go around scarring people.
No, not necessarily. that's not the point. But what I'm saying is that the first person that ever loved died
and because displayed what love meant.
Yes. So we have to love that way. That's just the way we have to love.
I actually absolutely agree with you. I know that a lot of millennials and Gen Zs will not agree with this mindset because they believe that.
Okay, guy, make I shock you. Most of our parents then, as in our parents, our generation.
The older generation.
Yeah, the older generation. Most of them cheated. And probably their wife found out and they are still together.
Why is it only men? Did the wives not also cheat?
They did.
Exactly.
I know some that cheated.
And some of them, you know, then there was no paternity test and everything. Some of them brought
people knew about it, but the husband still accepted the child.
Mm.
And this person is not even born again, but he has such level of simplicity. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but man, if you don't want your life messed up, you know that some things is that when we try to fix problems, we create more. Like sometimes divorcing somebody can be creating more problems.
That statement is quite heavy.
No, trust me. Like imagine now, the person took in for someone else and brought the child to your house. Two options, divorce the person or accept the baby and work on your marriage. So you can actually choose to work on your marriage and have it better than divorcing the person and marrying someone else.
Mm.
So you have to just weigh your options and decide which side, because you have a problem, you have to solve it.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's how it is. Because you have seen people that thought this person is not good enough for me. They divorce the person, get someone else they thought was better, and another problem. So it doesn't, do we solve every other problem, but we don't solve marital problems?
Yeah, so that's a punchline. He's a punchline giver too, guys. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that we have I think that pop culture has, it's basically just minimized marriage. It's just like marriage is like every other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for Christians, marriage is a covenant. And when something is a covenant, is that I have pledged and I have taken an oath that this will work and I will make it work.
That's true.
Right? And you know, and when they fall short and there is remorse and they repent, you know, repenting is not actually saying, oh, I'm sorry. Repenting, from the word that it was actually translated from, actually means to change. Change of your heart, you know. That means that when you repent, there will be change, you know. So they actually repent. I feel like love should still accommodate. But let's just wrap up the conversation before we actually, you know, look at it from just a holistic, or just recap everything. So for people who have been in relationships where they were actually cheated on, do you think that it's possible to rebuild trust and to rebuild it even stronger than before?
Yes.
Mm.
It's actually very possible. I think it's the person that cheated has more work to do to convince their partner that they are no longer the same. All of us, I've done stuff before that I knew that people had, you know, dropped who the perspective people had of me. So I knew I had to live up to expectation, even much more than I did before I did what I did. So if I can, the same way trust was built before it can be rebuilt. So, I think it's possible.
Okay, guys.
To have it better than before, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Just a couple of things I don't agree, but I
mention
don't.
One, please.
I think, don't worry, let's not talk about it here.
Okay.
But basically, I think that as Christians, personally, I just believe that love is actually all-encompassing. I don't think that any of us here, we're actually saying that. I think that there is a difference between, because at the same time, cheating on your partner is dishonoring the commitment and the oath that you took before God and man, right?
Yeah.
So I understand that these issues are not necessarily black or white. So when it's a pattern, for example, when that person is a chronic cheat, unrepentant,
yeah,
the one that does it before you, you know, and is so proud about it and everything, I feel like that one is no longer, you know, what they say about somebody's conscience being, you know, seared, like in the scriptures and everything. So there are people whose conscience, they don't have conscience again, or they have deadened their conscience. But I think the context that we are talking about is when it happens and people actually recognize that, oh, I've actually fallen short and I'm sorry. You know, like, is it possible? Would you say that if someone has actually loved you, let's say someone has loved you for 20 years in marriage, absolutely love.
For real.
And then one day they come up to you and they tell you that, oh, I cheated, you know, and this. Would you say that for that one, that for the whole 20 years that they loved you, that they never loved you?
No, that's not true.
I think it's absolutely not true.
But that one time can actually break the person more than the person having to have cheated more than once. I don't know if I make sense. Because the longer you have kept their trust, or how do I explain?
I understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
The longer...
For 20 years, like, yeah, why now, you know?
Yeah.
It devastates the other person. What has happened now? You know, but if this person even had a history of here and there, you can actually.
So basically, if you are planning to cheat in 20 years, you should have some history.
No, I'm just. We are just looking at it from every perspective, guy. I beg. But actually, that 20 years own would hurt more.
I personally think that the 20 years own will come with more conviction that they love you.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How will you even be convinced that they had not been cheating? How will you even believe them that was the first time?
You know, the thing, I don't even know what to say. To be honest, you know what? One thing I have learned about life is that,
well,
I can project what I would do in a certain circumstance, yeah, but I should not say for, you know, absolutely that whether I'll do that stuff or not, you know. But generally, just before we wrap up, why do you think that people cheat, you know?
My guy.
Especially, now, let's not talk about the chronic cheats. Let's talk about people who cheat and they did not mean to cheat, okay, and they cheated. Why do you think that they cheat? Do you think that people mistakenly cheat? Maybe like they were just walking on the road.
Guy, don't use that. Don't say that.
They were just walking on the road and they stumbled, you know, and then they mistakenly fell inside a woman's this thing. What do you think? That's a mistake though. But like, do you think that cheating be a mistake?
I don't think that cheating is a mistake. I think that cheating is...
What do you call a mistake?
A mistake is something you don't have control over. Or you had control over, but... How do I put it?
I like the fact that I asked you that question.
Okay, let's divide the word. Mistake. You had two options and you took the wrong one by mistake.
Wow.
So you had two stuff. So I had choose one. You chose the wrong one by mistake, you know.
Okay, so now let me ask you a question. When people are in a very vulnerable state.
But cheating is a very calculated thing in a sense. Okay? Because now what I mean by calculated is that you know that talking to somebody would arouse or would give you or give that person a sense of belonging, like there's something happening here, and yeah, you keep doing it.
Basically, will foster intimacy, emotional.
You are building something,
emotional,
and
stuff.
Then you start hiding your chats. You start going out to take calls. You are doing something.
Now, let me ask you: is it possible that you leave your wife in the house and you go for a meeting, and somehow, I don't know, maybe you get drunk
without any
without having to plan it, and then you know that happens? Would you call that still very calculated and intentional?
You get drunk. No, drink doesn't make people do what they don't want to do.
No, let's leave that. You don't drink, so you don't know. you don't know.
No, guy, for real.
Let's just leave it. Just answer the question. No need to analyze my question.
Okay. No matter what the answer is, you still take the responsibility for cheating.
Obviously, you take it. you know what, let me just give up. I don't want to, let it not sound like I'm trying to prove a point.
So, but basically,
why do people actually cheat here? Well, that was
why
the
people cheat is because,
like these people that are not chronic cheats, so like
they cheat because there is something that they used to get that they probably stopped getting. There's a vibe that used to
in their relationship,
in their relationship, that they start losing. You know, you started off having time to play, having time to discuss essential stuff, and all of a sudden you are no longer getting that vibe. Mm. Somehow, because that thing has been projected into your brain to be something you like and you want. Mm. If you get it elsewhere, you start tilting towards that direction. So I think that's one of the major reasons people cheat. But the major reason people cheat is lack of self-worth. When you start, I've found that the more intentional you become about who you are, the more you know who you are and where you are headed, you would not allow some things. Mm. So it's about self-worth. Mm. Someone told me, if you love yourself, you will not cheat. You will not cheat because of your partner. You will not cheat because of you. Mm. You don't deserve to be in that mess. So.
Yeah, because even when you cheat, you know, like, I want to believe that there is no feeling that's above the feeling that you know that you are who you say you are.
Yes.
And that you are actually trustworthy.
Yes.
Even when you know that your partner is trusting you, they don't know everything.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, but you know that what they know is correct about you.
Very
and
correct.
That your character is consistent.
Very true.
You know,
that,
so
that stuff keeps your head held, as in your head high and all.
Exactly. So anyway, so that's it for today, guys. To the cheats, please accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. To be very honest, there are people that actually might be suffering or struggling with cheating, maybe as something that they repeatedly did in their years of, exuberance, and now they actually born again, but they are struggling with that actually, you know, as a sin, you know, as a pattern, as something that's actually holding them back. And you know, maybe you need to see a therapist, you know, read the word the more. And I believe that the word actually transforms people. The more you read the word, the more you actually get transformed. And yeah, and for those who actually are in relationships where they've been cheated on, I hope that this would actually give you some clarity. And just to give, you know, a flip side of this conversation, just before I actually wrap up, think about it. Have you fallen short in other aspects too in your relationship? If you have fallen short in other aspects, why do you think that you deserved more grace than the person who's cheated? Now, see, this thing that I'm saying is very, very objective. So at the end of the day, you do what you want to do, you know. Thank you so much, guys. Chika, it was really nice having you on this.
Thank you
so much. Obviously, you should always be thanking me. it was really nice having you on this episode.
No,
I really did not plan to. But yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Thanks.
See you in the next episode. Bye.
It's the Solomon Butchie Podcast.